Chapter 3. Crossing the Rubicon.
Come on, shoplift Titian, you're up next. As soon as they've cleaned up the mess left of the one before you. By the collective gods, I'm glad I'm not you.
Sean stood up from the hardboard bed he found he was lying on, gagged at the smell of rotten straw and let's not go there other things, and stood blinking stupidly enough into the surrogate eyes of two flaming torches.
No,
he tried with a serious want of conviction.
No.
Laughs of a cruel kind pockmarked the voices which answered him.
Yeah, you would have gotten off lightly if his grandfather were still king. Good old hero. May his soul rest with the gods collective. Too bad for you he found the time to die and leave your judgment in the hands of the young'un.
The man made a disapproving sucking noise on what was left of his teeth.
Young kings these days, no patience, you see. Trying out his spanking new omnipotence on a few deserve what they gets.
A second voice went on.
Yeah, the young king is the complete opposite of his granddad.
And greedy. Greedy as a republican,
agreed the first voice.
I tell you what, Mush,
he meant Sean. If you've been lifting his gold, say goodbye to your fingers.
They say the old man has found the answer to the question, so we're in for a show, returned the first voice.
Who has found what to what? Sean stared at his hands. Not actually because they were manacled at the wrists. Not actually because they were projecting from inside a pair of seen much better days not too long ago sleeves, but because they were old. Old as his father's. He was also still wearing his digital watch.
Archimedes, of course. If you knows where's to go, you can still get odds of 100 to 1 against that he's worked out how to tell if silver has been mixed in with gold. Doesn't seem possible to me.
I reckon it's by the taste, said the other.
Have you ever eaten gold? So how would you know?
Demanded the first voice.
It tastes good in me dreams. I'm allowed to dream, ain't I?
All through this conversation, the two guards were pulling Sean out into a corridor. Although they were holding flaming torches, they still managed, through a repeated practice no doubt, to push, pull and kick-walk Sean the way, up some stone steps and into a sudden and painful light of day.
Wouldn't get your hopes up, though. The king's uncle regent, Adrenodorus, has sold tickets for the public flaying. His palms are just as itchy as his nephew's. He'd rather be flayed alive himself than hand money back. And by the size of him, that would take up the rest of the light entertainment season.
On his right peed off that he can't be king, on account of him being only married to the dead king's daughter.
They crossed a laser-bright courtyard, through an animated crowd, and then into a long hall in the opposite building. People eyed Sean's entry with disdain or amusement, and even more disturbingly, one or two with a pinch of pity. He was pushed to stand alone in front of a grand, oh, look-at-me dais. On it was a matching high and mighty throne, occupied by a lounging boy just a few years older than Sean. All around him stood richly attired nobles, soldiers and an array of also-rans. The local duty-appointed scum were looking in through the windows, eagerly hoping for whatever scraps that might be thrown by the rich, whether it be money, food, or entertainment soundbites.
Dog, kneel before the mighty king of Syracuse, Hieronymus of the Rapturous Returns.
Someone lifted Sean as a prelude to throwing him with melodrama onto his knees.
Ouch,
was all Sean could think to say. The, by far, largest of the richly attired men standing beside the king, who turned out to be the aforementioned Adrenodorus, the boy king's uncle, informed the sundry all.
Shoplift Titian, metal merchant, you are accused of a very serious crime, a high flaying crime.
This was greeted by a ripple of appreciative laughter.
I'm sorry, sir, but I'm not,
began Sean.
Silence, scum!
An unseen foot flattened him to the floor and held him there. Adrenodorus was probably the fattest man Sean had ever seen. He had a strong sensation that he had seen him before, at a zoo. Only then he had a trunk and kids were queuing to ride him. The proud bearer of this image pronounced pre-sentence on Sean.
If the king decides you are guilty, you will be flayed alive, hung up for the crows, and have your insides jellied before your eyes. Which I mean in a chronological sense, as they will be hanging down your face by then.
Eh? I mean, help?
Sean squeaked out this weak plea inquiry to the amused crowd, hoping that this shoplifter they all took him for had friends in the sea of fair-weather faces.
"Who has evidence against the guilty party?" called the king eagerly in the standard school-bully intonation.
"But I'm not guilty yet," protested a flat Sean.
"Silence, you dog of debasement!"
The same heavily reinforced foot encouraged his ribs to speak to his lungs in that vein.
"I have evidence, my new young liege."
An old man came forward. As wise old men go, he was a walking cliché. He had a long, flowing white beard and wore a magnificent red wrap and matching funny hat.
"Ah, Archimedes, the official court smartass," said the brat king.
"Clever person," corrected his uncle.
"Same diff," said the nephew, while he picked his nose and wiped his fingers on the expensive drape of the throne. "He looks like a schoolteacher. Bloody Greeks. At least he doesn't smell."
"That is because I have been taking a long bath, my liege," announced Archimedes with a hint of pride left still.
"Well, O newly clean one, have you an answer to the question?"
asked Andranodorus in his nasty, smiley, bloated way.
"That I have, my liege and master."
Something went ping inside Sean's head.
"Speak. The king hears,"
Andranodorus ordered by proxy authority. The boy king pulled haughtily at the cloak of the adviser.
"Uncle Andranodorus, I am king. I'm supposed to say that."
"All in good time, Hieronymus. Remember, I am your guardian till you are mature, which may take longer than any of us realized, and then it will be your turn to say, if you must."
"And proceed," said the king.
"Exactly."
"And flay that one slowly."
"As often and to whomever it so pleaseth his majesty."
"As long as that is understood, you may proceed."
"Thank you, your highness," said Andranodorus sarcastically.
He turned to Archimedes.
"Well, old man?" "Let me define the problem," began Archimedes, with a voice that sounded like a trailer to a very long film. "The royal crown has been made by the guilty party from gold given to him by his gracious majesty. Since the finished gold is the same weight as the gold given him, how can we be sure the guilty party has not substituted an amount of gold by a baser metal, for example, silver?"
A murmur of outrage and disgust washed around the crowd. Andranodorus sensed from the crowd's mood that an opportunity to do something memorably executive was approaching.
"Yes, Archimedes, O sage and extremely clever person in my eyes,"
the king blurted out.
"What do you mean, in my eyes? I'm the bloody king. Don't you mean in, my eyes?"
"Exactly, your young majesty. That is exactly what I mean."
While this was going on, the phrase "extremely clever person" was being echoed softly and mystically from several quarters of the gathered here todays. An advisory-looking, self-importantly robed gentleman, with an even funnier coned hat, stepped forward and spoke priestily.
"If the crown indeed weighs the same, is it not impossible to tell if the metals have been exchanged? Is it not true, as the scriptures tell us, that such an imprecise possibility will always lead to an impossibility?"
Uncle Andranodorus asked solemnly, "So, Archimedes, do you have the answer?"
"I do, for this solution is indeed my eureka moment."
A warning bell clanged very loudly inside Sean's already pinging head. Andranodorus was getting impatient.
"Yes, yes, yes, we all have eureka moments in the bath, just when we don't have quill and parchment handy to scribble them down. Yes, yes, by all that's tax deductible, get on with it."
"That while it is necessary to measure the volume of the crown to determine if its weight per volume is the same as pure gold, it is not necessary to melt it down to a uniform shape to do so."
"No,
no."
"Then how?" demanded Andranodorus. "Oh, extremely clever person, how? We are all ears."
Some dissenters in the crowd muttered things like,
"I bet he says something stupid, like his fishing hook for ships idea. Or his death ray caper. Looking at too many futuristic frescoes, that one."
Andranodorus advised the old sage. "Remember, Archimedes, this is your last chance to retain your position as official court smart, clever person. An exclusive government contract is at stake."
I shall not disappoint, O indirect liege. The solution is that if you were to immerse the crown into a container of water... The crowd erupted.
Ha! You owe me 100 obols. He wants to give the crown a bath. Shh, he hasn't finished yet.
Archimedes was flustered, but rallied with, my theorem states that the volume of space occupied by the crown will be precisely equal to the volume of water displaced. The expectation of the crowd now had a gooey texture to it. Archimedes waded through it stoically. And thus, by comparing this amount of displaced water to that from an equal weight of pure gold, we should be able to determine not only if, but by precisely how much, the gold has been replaced by a lighter metal, since the lighter metal will occupy more space for the same weight. In the ensuing pause, the king whispered to Andranodorus,
Uncle, is he saying gold weighs the same as water?
No, replied the regent from under a mountain chain of forehead ripples. I think he is saying the volume is the same whether it is water or gold.
Ah, went the brat king. So the weight of what we drink must needs be equal to that which we wear. I understand now.
Archimedes was trying to explain. We have no word for this new quality that results. To what degree a weighty thing occupies a space? Adrenodorus shook his head. Honestly, Archimedes, for a clever person at times you can be so dense. That's it, cried Archimedes in Eurekaphoria. We can call it densiticity. Adrenodorus cleared his throat loudly, before beckoning Archimedes into confidence. Archimedes, are you out of your hyperlogical brain? Roared Adrenodorus in a whisper, tapping Archimedes' chest sharply, which is where people in those days thought the thinking was done, whereas today we know men do it much further down. No, my liege, but one. I have tested the method, and it works. You total idiot. You have invented a system for detecting the presence of impure metal in gold. Yes, my lord, I rather gathered that is what I had been instructed to do. No, Archimedes, you were asked to get proof that Shoplifted is a crook, not undermine our entire monetary system. Sire? You do realize how serious a crime this is. Stealing? No, we all do that. With exaggerated patience and the simplest, intentionally condescending words he could find, Adrenodorus proceeded to explain the basic facts of reality, the eternal gift of the economist to the scientist. Currency debasing is an essential economic instrument. Sicily is an island, but our offshore status is in serious doubt. At a critical time as this one, facing an onshore invasion and aggressive auditing forays, we risk massive capital flight. The only guarantee we can offer for our currency is the gold standard. If rumors leak out that members of the Securities Council are mixing base metals with gold, it will cause a stampede in the already tight marketplace, outrunning our tights like you've never seen. But my method can prove it is all untrue, that no one debases our coinage, announced Archimedes triumphantly. Then he saw the contrarian face of the king's uncle. Ah, I see. Adrenodorus went on. If this gets out, our entire economy will be ruined. How can we balance the books if we can't float the debase points? If your method gets into the wrong hands, we will be holdable to account for our actions, and no responsible government can afford to be put in that position. Go away, go away. Archimedes stumbled down from the dais in a state of total confusion, while Andranodorus malevolently contemplated what to do and who that would be to. Sean had been following all of this attentively and saw this as his opportunity. Sir, may I speak? Why should you speak? You are the accused, mumbled Andranodorus in a real grump.
But if I may, sir?
Sean nodded towards Archimedes, or as much as he could from his prone position, and put meaning into his plea. Oh, very well, let's have it. The king's uncle adviser answered miserably.
All I wanted to say, sire, is ask Archimedes what he did just after his Eureka moment.
Adrenodorus gave a formality-compliant sigh and turned to Archimedes.
Eureka?
The old man shuffled his sandals uncomfortably.
That's why I was having a bath.
I see, and afterwards?
I ran through the streets calling, I have found it, in ancient Greek.
What do you mean, ancient Greek? We speak modern Greek. It won't be ancient Greek for another 2,000 years.
And he was naked, added Sean, a shopliftitian.
Archimedes, have you been streaking in public again?
My lord.
Archimedes dropped his post-sage status head and went as red as his cloak.
The scum screamed with laughter, and the chortling classes lived up to their name.
Adrenodorus placed his heavy hand of remonstration on the old man's shoulder. And have you been self-medicating on leeches again?
Archimedes nodded his head sadly. The Brat King made a face and said, Oh man, that really sucks.
We need some cheering up, announced Andranodorus suddenly. We shall now all flay to the gods' collective. Let the entertainment begin. He clapped his hands, and the flaying squad moved in with a portable brazier, incisors, flap levers, dermal rakes, and other gruesome instruments, and behind them a backup team of slaves with mops and buckets.
Sir,
screamed a desperate shoplifted Sean Composite, as it was dragged towards the upright flaying rig.
Sir, may I speak?
I told you, guilty parties have nothing to say.
I can finish Archimedes' death ray for him.
What? What can you know about it?
I know his design, and I know it doesn't work. I saw it on Mythbusters.
Mythbusters? That league of anti-Hellenic scum? Roman propagandists?
Adrenodorus bellowed at a guard. Pre-torture this object. I want to see him with a poker face.
Please, sir, I can do it, begged Sean.
Archimedes?
Well, a little inspiration wouldn't go amiss. I am stuck on how to focus the light sufficiently. On papyrus, things look so easy, don't they?
Archimedes went over to Sean, now being tied to the T-shaped flaying rig.
Do you have a moment?
The guard took out his knife and began to rip off Sean's vestments, including his watch. Archimedes muttered on.
If you're not too busy, shall I come back later? It's just that I would love to know how you propose to do it.
Using a laser,
answered a terrified Sean.
And what is that?
It amplifies light, but only monofrequency light.
No such thing.
Okay, you might know it as monochromatic light?
Nope.
Well, okay, it hasn't been discovered yet.
A priest now screamed at Sean.
Blasphemer! Knowledge-seeker! Devil-worshipper!
Adrenodorus mediated the issue in a highly reasoning tone. Surely you must see, the priests do have a point. The history of man is long. Logically, there has been more than enough time for everything there is to know to have been discovered already. The other priests held up their scriptures and chanted,
That's all you need to know.
Archimedes pulled Sean's ear aside, which was rather painful because the rest of him remained where it was tied on the vertical rig.
Why would that make light more intense?
Because it can be amplified through that ruby.
Sean managed to point with the only part of his body still able to move, his nostril flare, at the enormous ruby around the Brat King's neck. The first torturer came up to Sean, and, with what he probably thought to be a professional courtesy, showed Sean the red-hot poker he was going to use as an opening bar. Archimedes said to Sean in apology,
Well, I can see you're busy. Perhaps we can talk more comfortably later.
He shuffled away with his head bowed in sage thought, which is why he alone saw the watch. He held it up.
Did someone drop this?
It's mine, cried Sean.
Yours? What is it?
A watch.
I am looking at it.
I mean a timepiece, for telling the time.
Indoors?
Yes.
What on earth for?
Archimedes pressed a button on the watch, and the planetarium mode came on in the display, showing the planets revolving around the sun.
Oh, I say. How very interesting.
What is it, Archimedes? Asked Adrenodorus, his instincts readily converting interesting to profitable. Archimedes slipped the watch into his robes before turning around.
I was going to say something important, I think it was.
He said the ancient Greek for drat and began to wander away, Sean forgotten.
Continue, ordered Adranodorus, tether-endedly, to the torturers.
Archimedes, please, the laser, screamed Sean.
Archimedes turned back to him.
Lazy? No, I am many things, young man, but I am not lazy. I will show you.
You won't be able to if I am dead.
But that would mean postponing your execution. I couldn't ask so much of you.
Yes, you could.
But only if you really don't mind. You're not just saying that so as not to hurt my feelings.
Sean stared at the hot tongs hovering towards his midriff.
Oh, don't mind me. A little delay won't bother me, believe me. In or out of my skin, same to me.
Very well, as long as you don't complain about it later. Lord Adranodorus, I think he would be of more use skinned.
That he will be in a few minutes.
What I mean is skin left on.
Yes, yes, I was only teasing. Honestly, Archimedes, for a wise old man, you're awfully thick at times. So be it. Bring the prisoner for the tenderizing ceremony.
Wondering what on earth a tenderizing ceremony might be, Sean was cut down and drag-kicked along a series of corridors to a hastily called conference in a bathhouse. While the wealthy patriarchs were massaged and indulged variously, ministers of panic and sundry were giving their reports. The Roman consul, Traspulio the Younger, has threatened an auditing foray. He is coming with a 50,000-man trade delegation to aggressively renegotiate our relations.
We have attempted to block their passage by raising the Messina Strait toll, but our price regulation steering committee has been outsmarted by the Roman fleet sailing around the low market side of Sicily. We hadn't anticipated such a cunning cost-saving manoeuvre.
Another minister of something really stupid continued the laments.
Our supplication team to the Volcano Island Eruption Deity Group has not returned, and all we can do is hope for the worst.
Enough!
Adranodorus used the throat of his masseur as a prop to lever his enormous bulk to a sitting position and signal for Archimedes and Shopliftitian to approach.
Archimedes, will your death ray work?
I can't be sure.
Are you sure about that?
Well, science is never as exact as the scriptures.
The priesthood by habit nodded indignantly as one.
There's always a degree of uncertainty, but in this case the uncertainty reduces to, very close in fact, to, well, whatever 1 minus 1 equals.
0,
burst out Sean helpfully.
Oh, that's ridiculous,
exploded Archimedes, with an unexpected degree of passion.
How can there be a 0? Nothing can't be a something. That's what I always say. 0 doesn't count or never add up to anything. It is just one of those mad Babylonian theoretical entities.
Like negative numbers?
Sean knew the ancients liked their mathematics geometric, straight up and real.
Negative numbers? Great gods incorporated, what a concept.
Archimedes stroked his beard Dumbledorishly. Adranodorus swept away the historical moment of intellectual discovery, as it has been done ever since, with economic override.
No death ray. This is a disaster. Do you realize we have pre-launch brochures already chiselled and ready to be erected on every prime-time hill of every port in the Middle-earth Sea? We have endorsements lined up from the top gladiators. Not cheap, but well worth it. It is all ready to roll. All we need now is for research and development to give us the product according to the original specifications. We've done our job. Why can't you do yours?
But Archimedes' death ray won't ever work, mumbled Sean.
We know that, explained the Minister of Excess. But our investment partners do not. The initial public offering will skyrocket, so in that one true sense, it does work.
What I mean is, pleaded Sean, the Romans will reach the harbour wharf, land and massacre everyone in the city, Archimedes included.
Rubbish, retorted the elephantine regent. Their business plan is an open secret. Everyone knows clever people are bundled back to Rome to help them on their secret weapons projects to use against the eastern axis of evil states.
But I can help Archimedes build a death ray that will work, insisted Sean.
What will it cost?
Considered Adranodorus,
ready to calculate his 40% commission. All I ask is unlimited resources, manpower and time. Oh, and that enormous ruby of the king's.
Don't cross the Rubicon with me, young man. That ruby is the symbol of high office. You can have its equivalent value in money.
But that's not the same at all. It won't work.
Don't ever underestimate the power of a wad of cash, young man. I take it you are haggling for even more funding?
Not really.
Then request denied. Guards?
Ah, then, yes, please. Could I have a raise on my weekly venture capital?
Ah, that's better. Now I have the situation in focus. Adrenodorus spoke to the collective. I now declare the tender competition open. The specifications are as follows. The death ray must be capable of destroying up to 12 enemy vessels per hour, fry up to 240 enemy soldiers a minute, and extra merit will be awarded for a chic modern design. It should come in a range of colours, suitable for catalogue sales to the eastern states, preferably in kit form. Manuals in all 10 universal languages. Go to it, and oh, Archimedes, try not to upset the ladies during your moments of revelation again, and keep your ray pointed to the poorest sections of town. I've just had the palace redecorated.